The Cork Food Stories Podcast with Clara Cooney. A taste of Cork's food producers and suppliers, where every flavour tells a story.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Cork Food Stories. I'm Clara Cooney, owner of the gourmet grocer, deli and catering business. This podcast is in collaboration with Red FM. Before I even started my professional journey in food, I was always extremely mindful of food waste. I had a lovely allotment out in a farm in Blarney where I grew enough veg and fruit every year to supply the family. Any food waste from that was composted and put back into the soil as a fertiliser. When I was in Ballymaloe, food waste was used to feed the hens. I see this with many of the farmers that supply food for my business now, and it's extremely important to me that food waste within my business is as minimal as possible. On this week's podcast, I am talking to the co-founder, Fiona Kelleher, of MyGug, where herself and her partner, Kieran Coffey, started a wonderful business where they have created an amazing product aimed at small businesses, restaurants and schools that turn food waste into renewable energy and fertilizer. I'm so intrigued and in awe of what they have achieved and also their future plans on tackling food waste, both here in Ireland and internationally. Fiona, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time out to come into us today.
Oh, delighted to be here. Thanks for having me, Clara.
It's not great. At all. I know the business is pretty new, but let's go back a bit because both you and Kieran were on completely different career paths. So let's talk a little bit, I suppose, about where you were, what you were, how it all came to this and the whole idea of starting the business.
I suppose the idea of really starting the business happened during COVID, as it is with lots of people who found themselves in a position where they could reflect and maybe think about what they wanted to do next because of maybe the challenges that it presented in their work. And at the time before COVID, I was working as a musician full time. So I was doing a lot of work in the community.
I listened to a few of your songs online last night. I said I have to listen to Fiona now singing.
Yes, she put
you
me
have a
on.
Great voice.
So I was working away as a musician and that was fine, and Kieran was working as a mechanical engineer working in the water section in Cork County Council.
Brilliant.
Which is a lovely job. Yeah. Great job. And I suppose all the time in the back of his head, particularly in the job that he was in, he was looking at, you know, there was always conversations about waste. Mm. Whether it was wastewater, whether it was food waste, whatever it might be. Mm. And he did some work as well in landfills as well, so that really did bring home the notion of food waste and contamination and the problems that we were creating.
Yeah.
We were creating in our daily lives all the time in food businesses, in homes, industrially, every way, in every context. There was always going to be waste, and this is where it was ending up. So in other words, we were just shelving the problem, not really dealing with it. So another thing I suppose that occurred was Kieran had always been interested in anaerobic digestion, something that I had never heard of.
I know.
Before I met Kieran.
Actually, well, I knew a little bit about it, but anaerobic digestion, I was looking at it last night going, oh, yes, okay,
yes.
Now I get it.
So without the presence of oxygen being the key thing, what it'll do is anaerobic digestion is that process where food waste will convert into methane gas.
Yeah.
And a biofertilizer. So, and that biofertilizer is more like a liquid than a solid. Yeah. So it's really bioavailable. It's ready to put right into the soil and it's an excellent soil amendment.
Yeah.
So I suppose Kieran was thinking about anaerobic digestion. We know it's available at agricultural levels. It happens in industry and that's all great. But it is still that thing of taking massive amounts of food waste, transporting it from various places, putting it together in one source and then feeding it to an anaerobic digester. So his idea was to take that process, which is a natural process, and make it available to small food businesses that were creating significant waste, to schools who create significant food waste, and ultimately to domestic users as well who create their own food waste. And the journey really is about taking that food waste and creating your own energy. So what you're doing is you're creating an independent source of energy with your own.
I know, it's phenomenal.
You know, so it's that thinking of saying, well, what can I do in my household or in my food business that will make a change in my life where I can actually add economic value to what I have, where I can create my own energy, and crucially, where I can be more sustainable, where I can be more mindful of what I'm doing with food waste, as you described yourself in your business, where you're doing something that you know you're not impacting on climate, where you're not impacting on your environment, and you're doing it in a way that's going to actually give you something. So it's win-win as far as we're concerned.
It is. And, you know, I think that for many years, but we're all talking about food waste, you know, it is a topic of conversation. There's a lot of businesses out there who are doing things really fantastically. One of my suppliers, I don't know if you know them, Cream of the Crop.
Okay.
Giselle, she is amazing. She's a chef living in Dublin, originally from Brazil, and she basically was using surplus food to create the most beautiful gelatos.
Wow.
So this was like, instead of sending this to the landfill, you know, they'd use the good parts of the surplus food, what they could use. And now she is in partnership with Fife's Banana, and she uses their product. They have a few different products on the market. Yeah, her stuff is amazing. It sells out very quickly in my place, but also just the whole story behind it and what she's doing. And now she's going internationally. Because I think, you know, if I look at my business as well, I look at who I get, you know, my suppliers from, whether it's farmers or whether it's direct from wholesale distribution. And I look at, you know, what they're doing. And even my wines, like my wines are small family run vineyards who are into regeneration of their soil, you know, who are using just their own vines. And it's just, it's really good to kind of look into who you're supporting as well at the same time. So not just what we do in the kitchen, because we've very, very little food waste, thank God. And I don't overproduce. And that's one thing I don't do in the business. It's a hard decision to make, because a lot of people say, you know, you should have the product there at all times. But if I have too much made and it goes to waste, I just don't. That's not my belief at the end of the day. So, but, you know, it takes a little bit of time and effort to kind of work a business like that.
That is the balancing act, I think, isn't it, for food business?
That is the balancing act. It absolutely is. Yeah. But I do look at other businesses who don't do that and the amount of waste that is going out the door. And I just can't. It's not in my belief system. But you're taking it to a completely different level, and I just absolutely love it. So, yes, so Kieran, obviously, he had an interest in it. Tell us about how it was like, right, I need to look at this now. I need to come up with a design. I need to do it. How did it get to that stage then?
I think he just, when he was working in landfills, he was thinking about it, and it really did hit him that there must be another way. So he was always doing something at home, you know, making things, pulling things apart, you know what I mean? Since he was a small child, this was happening.
Out in the garden with his little experimental area,
His little kit. So he decided that he'd try one, just make one that we could use at home, you know, so he did. So he had been into the egg design as a design from nature as being, number one, aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
And number two, as being really efficient because it doesn't have any corners. So then you don't have any dead areas in your tank, we'll say, where you've got materials gathering that are not being used.
Yeah.
So it's just that kind of, you know, clean, natural things. And aesthetically, it's really nice to have something that's, you can actually look at and maybe design.
It's quite pretty,
So it's not like the bin.
Yeah.
It's not like a compost bin, which they're fine, but they're very much function. But this was really about form as well. And we really wanted to kind of glorify the process in that sense and really give it something that had that design that was aesthetically pleasing, that people felt, look, this is what I'm doing. And it was adding to that thing a food business where, for instance, if they're saying, look, I'm working sustainably, I'm really looking at my food waste, I'm reducing, I'm recycling, and I'm creating my own energy, and look, you know, look at what I'm using to make it, and it's over here in the corner, it's got flowers around it, it looks good.
So did he create the egg kind of shape before they, you know, he went into full development stage, or was that kind of through development?
I suppose, really, because it needed a bit of R&D in that. You needed to see how it was going to function, how it was going to work.
You can understand behind it, like, you know, a square or rectangular base would have corners that things are going to get up.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is, and I mean, they work very well. It's not that they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that this had that extra element of function, and it had that form, which we felt was, yeah, something that you would consider buying.
Do you remember the first time kind of Kieran had a bit of a breakthrough with this?
Yeah, I do. We were at home and this egg was parked in the back, you know, just outside the house, and it was raining. I remember a rainy January evening, and he is outside and he had a bucket of water and he had a hose pipe. And this was very now, you know what I mean, early days where we were all going, the hell is he doing out there? And he had a lighter. And he lit the hose to see if the gas was coming out. This is what he was doing. He was putting it into the bucket and he could see bubbles in the water because the gas was coming. But it was the first time he'd made gas using the egg.
Wow.
So we put the food waste in, then we were waiting to see what would happen. So the test was the bubbles in the bucket and then lighting it to see this thing. So, you know, engineers, they're not too worried about safety in the early days. But myself and the kids are looking out going, what's he doing now? Like, oh my God. But that was the breakthrough. So it looked like
it was
working.
A nice big flame coming out.
Exactly. So it was really, it was a great moment because it said, okay, it's working at this level. This is really good. So what do I do now? So then there was loads more R&D after that.
Of course. So I know you had a development team, but you went to local enterprise
yeah,
board.
Local enterprise
tell,
us, yeah.
tell us about that, because I don't think enough people know about everything that the local enterprise board does. And especially if you're going to this level, you know, this technical level of a product that's going to make an impact, not just in Ireland, but also abroad. But tell us about your kind of journey with that and how you went about it.
I suppose when I decided to step into the business full time, that was when we thought that it would be really good to try and get some support from Leo, because in order to do that, we needed the support from Leo. It was meaning that we were going to leave our jobs and try this full time. And Leo is such an excellent start off point for businesses in Cork. We have, well, I was working with Leo Cork North and West.
Yeah.
And they have an office in Clonakilty.
Yeah.
And they're really approachable. They have incredible supports really for business. They have great mentorships. They have funding programs. They will do an assessment of your business for you. They'll help you with testing your product. Yeah. They'll help you with your value proposition. They've got great teams. They've got amazing skills, and they are reaching out. They're really proactive, so they're always looking for people to come to them and say, you know, come to us with your idea if it's only at idea stage. We were coming to them with the product, which was nearly there at that point, because Kieran had really been working away on getting it moving in the early days. So by the time we got to Leo, we had something to present. And when we did, they were super. We applied for a grant which is called a priming grant, which is a really good grant for getting salaries or getting a CapEx spend if you needed that for your business. And it was really easy. It was, they were really encouraging. They helped us right through the process. And really things did progress from there because they could, because what we were doing is we were buying time. The product was there and it was ready to go, but we needed the time, as you say, to get things moving on the marketing front, maybe looking at a little bit of sales, looking at setting up the business really. And that's what I was there to do with my, while I was at the same time learning about running a business. So those two things were happening at the same time,
and
because I didn't come from
that was so different to what you were
completely but I suppose to. My background in working in creative arts is that, and as most artists will tell you, we're very used to creating our own work. We're very used to working independently. So the skill of going in and trying something new, innovating, you know, saying how will this work out, quite comfortable in that space.
Yeah.
So the fact that it was the unknown wasn't the problem. It was more about the traction we were going to get and testing it and all that. But that's a journey that you have to do in any business.
100%.
So I think that did serve me well, but there was quite a lot of imposter syndrome going on because I really needed to kind of get into the books and look at learning about business and stuff. But I mean, again, in this country, it's amazing. There are so many courses, accelerator courses. I did the AgTech and UCD online,
brilliant.
And it was a brilliant course. And there are many more like it.
Yeah.
That with the Leo support that I got as well. And now we're with Enterprise Ireland, which is kind of a jump up again to look at export market. Loads of help there with accelerator courses, with mentors, with connections, with funding. Really proactive. So, yeah, a really good ecosystem
is,
in Ireland, I think, for starting businesses.
It is. I found the same. I mean, even just like, so I got the trading voucher for the website and I did a load of social media marketing courses, actually. This was all during COVID when we all had loads of time on our hands as well. And then when I started my business, as I said, I was always somebody who was very conscious about my carbon footprint and food waste and energy and the whole lot. So I took up the Green for Micro program with Leo, and I had a sustainability consultant work with me for 6 weeks, which was amazing. And it kind of really just showed me I was on the right path, what I was doing anyway. But, you know, we kind of looked at creating maybe a bit of a campaign to kind of flow stuff. But it's brilliant. And this is all available to us that, you know, yes, you have to apply, you have to get in touch, you have to have those conversations, you have to go and meet them, you have to get your business advisor. But it is there for us. And I think without them, really, you know, well, I feel that without them, I wouldn't be kind of where I am today.
Because it is a learning journey, isn't it? I mean, you have to
100%.
Really learn. And I think they do help you a lot with that. And there's a great sense of skill in that, in allowing people to kind of really go at their own pace and develop something from the ground up. But yeah, I couldn't say enough good about them in that sense. And it's great to have them there.
So you talked to us a little bit about the design of the egg and Kieran's first success out in the garden. which was fantastic. Now, talk to us a little bit about the kind of, because it was 4 years of development. It's a long process. You have to stick with it before anything's happening with it. So there must have been a few challenges there for you.
For sure. I mean, I suppose when you're developing something new, you are working in the unknown, essentially. Mm-hmm. And for us, I suppose what we needed to do was test the thing continually, technically. There was an awful lot of troubleshooting going on because there was a lot of, you know, things happening, maybe stuff getting stuck or materials that weren't suitable, trying to figure out what could or could not be put into it, all those kinds of things. And then we were really lucky in 2018, Duncan Stewart and EcoEye came to Cork and did a little piece for a broadcast on one of their programmes. Brilliant. That went out in RTE. And then the phone rang and it was Guy Scott, who owns Rebecca's Kitchen Cafe. His daughter Rebecca runs that business out there. She's got a lovely cafe kitchen in Kilbritton and they were looking for a solution for food waste.
Amazing.
And he said he'd love if we could work with them. So we created the first commercial prototype.
First customer.
Was amazing. And that journey has been incredible for the product because we've learned so much about the customer experience, and that's key.
Yeah.
Because Kieran, looking at it at home, it's his baby. He knows exactly how to manage it and work it and so on, and the troubleshooting is minimal. The minute you put it into the hands of somebody who doesn't know what it is, that's when you really test your product. That's when you really understand what the customer needs, what the customer wants,
100%.
How it's going to work. And we learned a huge amount with Guy and are continuing to learn all the time. It's a great place for us. It's like a test bed for the egg. It's great. We're always trying out new things. We're always, you know, and they're wonderful. They're a wonderful team to work with. They're so progressive and they've had great success with it. So we're delighted.
You know, isn't it brilliant to have that as your first customer? Somebody who knows that there's going to be kind of little few challenges and blips.
Absolutely.
And we need to kind of, he probably also enjoyed watching it, what works and what doesn't.
Well,
you know?
He was such a find because, and the team there were such a find. They're, I mean, a fantastic family. They have a beautiful business out there. It's lovely. It's a really gorgeous place to go and have a cup of coffee, actually, and the food is delicious. But they were just really with us on the journey, which was wonderful because it just meant you could really expand the idea. You could really test things out. There was no sense of them not being on the journey with us. They really were helping us. So we were kind of really together on that path with everything that happened, you know, and it was really a case of great redesign, you know, pivot, do this, do that. And what he has out there is the first commercial prototype. It's been there since 2019. And we're just going to be doing a bit of an upgrade for him now in the next while. You know what I mean? It's, we really want to test more with him. And yeah, it's exciting and it's great to have it near us. Like, it's only out the road from us. So it's great. You just go over, check on it, see how things are going. And he's wonderful at giving us loads of data on how he's getting on. So
that's amazing. So in simple terms, right? Just explain to people how it works, what happens and what you can do from start to finish.
So from start to finish, the product is, it's an egg digester. So it's this egg-shaped digester that'll sit outside your food business or in your school, and it's got a little cabinet attached to it, and the cabinet is the receptacle for the food waste. So you go out and put it into the sink as if you were putting your food waste into the sink. There's a macerator. You turn on your macerator. It turns it into sort of a puree. Then that's kept underneath the cabinet in a little tank that sits inside in the cabinet, and then that's pumped at intervals automated into the egg. And the egg then is, it's heated and insulated. So it's kept at 37 degrees, which is the optimum temperature for anaerobic digestion. And when it's in the digester, then it's converted into methane gas, which is piped into your kitchen. And we supply a biogas cooker as well, because you don't use it on your normal cooker. You get the biogas cooker with the egg. And then there is an outlet for your biofertilizer. So you go with your watering can, you fill up, and off you go up to your cucumbers and your tomatoes and get them sorted. So what you're doing is you're making two types of energy and you're getting rid of your food waste. So there's three things you can do. You get rid of your food waste and you're creating this energy with it. Yeah. So what it's going to do is it's going to help you with your fossil fuel dependence on energy for cooking. It's going to help you deal with, if you grow food, then you're our customer. You have a need for fertilizer. You want good fertilizer. You want something that's going to work. You want something that's going to nourish your food. If this is for your business, this is ideal. And you're going to have food waste that you're going to have to get rid of somehow. Even if you're the best restaurant in the world at doing that, we were always going to have some unavoidable food waste. And we're not interested in the avoidable. We're not interested in food waste that can be used in the business. That should go back into the business to be used directly. We're interested in the unavoidable food waste, which is always going to be something that you're going to have to deal
always.
With. Then what you're doing is you're achieving that net zero in doing that, because you're embracing everything in that way. So there's loads of great companies in Ireland that help people, like you say, through lean programs and so on, that'll help people look at their food waste and address it in food business. And this then is the tier that helps you with that stuff that's sitting in your brown bin or that's waiting to go to wherever it might go 2 weeks later. After it's been produced.
You know, the way you're saying there is certain things you can and cannot put into it. So, I mean, all the veggies and whatnot can go into it. But I presume, like, no bones or...
You can put in chicken carcasses, fish, all that kind of stuff can go in. But you wouldn't put in a lamb bone or any like hard bones, like a T-bone and stuff like that wouldn't go in.
Yeah.
Other things that I wouldn't put in, people, we often get questions about grass clippings and garden waste and that kind of thing. And there's very little energy to be gained by that. And really, they compost very well. So you don't need to be using your system for that. So it doesn't work very well. Any fibrous material like that, I wouldn't put in. Any hard nuts is the same thing, like bones. Yeah. If you had like mango nuts or avocado stones and things like that, I wouldn't put those in either. But again, all of those things are really easily compostable.
Yeah.
So tea bags, stuff like that. And it's interesting, a rule of thumb that we use in schools actually is whatever you put into your own stomach will go into the egg. So you wouldn't eat a T-bone. You wouldn't eat an avocado nut. You know, you wouldn't eat the top of a pineapple that's fibrous and might get caught or whatever. You wouldn't eat those things.
No.
But you would, of course, have yogurt, you'd have cakes, you'll have bread, you'll have beers, wines, you'll have the whole lot.
Fruits,
cooked and raw will all go in.
And you're right, because there's a lot of things that mightn't go in there, but they're very compostable on their own. I mean,
very compostable. That was really important to us, that it wasn't going to be, you know, oh, well, I'm getting it, but it's not taking this. This is a really insignificant amount of food waste that it won't take. But it's important to the proper running that they do, that you don't put a hard bone into it, simply because it's a macerator and it just won't digest very well either. Those hard materials. So
you had your first customer, which was amazing. And I suppose really it's probably kind of a year, year and a half then that you fully got involved yourself in the business and stuff.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about kind of going out and marketing in it because it's a bit of an unknown. Some people are a little afraid of the unknown or a bit skeptical. Don't know if that would work for me. And yes, we know farmers use them on a much bigger scale. But talk to us a little bit about how you approached that and how, you know, what was your strategy around that and how you started to build the business up.
Well, I suppose our first kickoff in the business was through an inbound sale in the UK, which took us into the export market before we started at all. And that was from a university in England. And they were an agricultural college and they were particularly interested in small scale anaerobic digesters. And they basically Googled us and found us.
Wow.
Somehow. So that kind of started that kind of journey with the first kind of customer overseas. And we said, we had, you know, the thing working out from Rebecca's and that was all great, but it was still very much in that kind of idea phase, I suppose. So then that happened and then we thought,
was that for an educational purposes to show people?
Educational purposes and they have a canteen and all that kind
fantastic,
of thing.
Fantastic, yeah.
So they ordered two. So we thought, okay, this is probably enough if we can get a priming grant to kind of keep us going for the next year and see how we go. So then it really was about the marketing and looking at all of that. And really, I'd very little experience in that area apart from marketing my own work in a very different context. So I decided to do an accelerator course.
Yeah.
So I said, look, let's just jump on something, get a bit of education going, see what I can build up. And so I did. So I did an accelerator course and it really helped me to kind of formulate some kind of plan. But in the meantime, I suppose what we were learning was all those things that I was learning about in marketing was about, you know, your Google ads and your SEO and all that kind of stuff. But really where we needed to be was that content marketing, exactly what you were talking about, which is the unknown, this thing that you're trying to market to people, but they don't know what it is.
Yeah.
What we learned was that we needed to educate people first.
Yeah.
So that led us down the road of two things, content marketing and also going into schools, which we thought was a really important way of getting on that path because they're the generation that are going to take this forward.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? Not us.
Yeah.
Like we're just introducing something and the hope is that they'll drive this into kind of lots of different contexts and see anaerobic digestion as a really valid, viable, important block in terms of our like way of dealing with climate change and dealing with stepping away from fossil fuel energy and dealing with stepping away into sources that are going to protect the planet. So it will. We're only starting that journey. That's why, to me, schools are so exciting.
They're so exciting.
You go into transition year students and they have 1,000 ideas about what would work and what won't work. They use it for science, they use it for home ec, they use it for horticulture, they use it for, you know, biology. There's so much in it in terms of process learning. And then they can do loads of data management. They manage the egg as well. There's a whole automated system. They can log in on their dashboard and see the levels and look at what's happening.
Love
so
it.
there's a whole process there that they can manage and they will drive it into the future. So in my view, that's a really exciting space to be in.
Yeah.
And I think they will help us in food businesses then to kind of get to grips with that. So the content marketing is one thing which we're doing now. We've just started that. We're doing our bits and pieces in terms of blogs and coming and talking to you is a really important step, like of, you know, really just chatting through it and letting people understand and listen. So there's that journey of understanding. So it's going to take a little while, but we're happy to do it because we think it's so important. And we're an impact business, first and foremost.
Yeah.
That's what we want to be doing, is creating impact.
I absolutely love, you know, when we're educating kids and you know, our future, should we say, about anything to do with food waste and the environment. And they're so interested in learning more because they do know also it's their future.
Oh, completely, yeah.
And I think they're a little bit, compared to what we were, I suppose we were uneducated about it really when, you know, when we were going to school, because it wasn't there for us. But I have a niece of 15 years of age and they learn an awful lot about it from the cycle of food from start to finish.
Yeah.
And they also get a lot more information about the amount of food waste that's out there in the world and understanding what you're doing at home and the importance of using your proper systems at home as well.
Yeah.
I think when I was growing up, everything was put into one bin. You know,
I know.
It was just because there wasn't any.
That was those were our options, yeah. And we thought that was best practice.
Yeah.
But we've learned, of course, that there is. But the other very interesting thing for children as well is that they're very interested in the energy values of things. So
I
for them
that,
to know, well, you know, this cake has got very high energy value. That's going to produce lots of gas for you. You know what I mean? Whereas an apple won't give you the same because it's, you know what I mean? It's not as dense in terms of the sugar, the energy content. So there's so much application there. You know,
sorry,
how much energy
in
a banana
skin. Your next course I'd like to attend, please.
I know, this is the next thing. We might have to get you in.
I know, I'd love to.
But there's so much application. There really is.
That's so interesting as well, just understanding the energy source of every food.
Yeah.
And how much energy it
And that's
can
the
take.
Kind of stuff that kids love to talk about. You know, sitting at the table with your sandwich going, I wonder now how much gas this would produce. Would it boil an egg for
instead
you? Would
of,
it do?
Instead of, I wonder how many calories is in this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how
Let's
much gas
about,
it would produce.
Yeah.
Love it. Oh, it's just fantastic. So you're in a couple of schools around Ireland.
Yeah, well, we're in Bandon Grammar School and we're also in Kinsale Community only recently. They put one in about 6 weeks ago.
Amazing.
And yeah, they're loving it. They had a lovely open day. They had a big celebration of sustainability in the school there recently. And their home ec team were cooking pancakes using gas from MyGook, which was great to see. And in Bandra Grammar, they're doing a fabulous job. They love it. And they have a lovely polytunnel there and they have raised beds and they've got big plans for creating food. So food circularity is where they're at. And it was really funny when we put it in first, it was during the summer last year, before they started back. Kieran went up to look at it one day and somebody had done a big chalk, lovely big eyes and a mouth and everything. We were laughing, going, isn't it great? They just come along and they immediately add their own little design to the kids. You know, it's just brilliant.
Like, oh, I love it.
It's great.
Do the sizes of the products change do you get them custom made for each business?
We do. Well, we have three sizes available. That's what we say to businesses. So there's three sizes. There's a mini, a midi and a maxi egg. So the one
you
out
sound
in,
like Apple or, you know.
I know. I was thinking about that. We'll have to think about our names. Are they going to fly? But so what Rebecca's have is a maxi egg. And that's the biggest one that we produce at the moment. So that takes 18 kilograms of food waste per day, which to us, we think is a lot of food waste. But a lot of businesses will tell you, I have much more than that. But our thing is, well, why not try and reduce in the first instance? Recycle what you can and then put the unavoidable waste into the MyGook. So the ones for schools that we sell is the mini, which is the smallest one. So it's more like a demonstration, really. You know, it won't take all of their food waste, but it's a wonderful tool for education and a wonderful for them to manage. It's small, it's neat, it sits in very nicely. They can feed it, they can manage it, they can give it a hug if they want to. They can do whatever they like, but it's not, you know, a big industrial thing that wouldn't be suitable for schools. So it's really aimed at that market and we'd love to see more of them in schools. And we've had a good bit of interest, actually.
You know, you said there earlier that one of the first customers that came in was from the UK, the university from the UK. So you're in the UK, but you're also in Portugal, you're in Germany. Are they schools as well or are they businesses?
No, this was all inbound. This is people just expressing interest, going on Google and going micro anaerobic digestion. And one was a fascinating business actually in Germany, in Berlin. They're called Loop Farm. Okay. So they're interested in circularity and having urban food systems. So they were looking for a digester that was going to allow them to grow their own.
Like the rooftop farm, are they like kind of?
They're a bit like that. They're actually nearly on. Their little farm is on the water. It's like a little kind of a canal.
Yeah.
They're situated just in the water.
I have an awful feeling. You know the guys in Cork Rooftop Farm? I think he might have went and visited them. I can't remember if he did or not, but
Yeah, there's a great whole movement in Berlin, actually, in particular, in these urban farm systems and in vertical farming. And we fit right into that vertical farming model as well, because the digestate, the fertilizer, is really suitable for that.
Yeah.
So they contacted us and we took one over there. Anyone who was kind of showing interest said, we'd love to work with you, see, you know, what you're like, why would they come to us? We're kind of learning about our customers, yeah, what brought you to us kind, yeah, of thing. So you had the education sector, you had the food business, you had the vertical farm. So we're working now a little bit with Enterprise Ireland in Germany at the moment, and they're trying to help us look at where we might target it to see if it's, yeah, keep going with the urban farms. But of course, great schools, universities, restaurants in Germany as well who might be interested. So, and in Portugal then, this was from a company, they're a green agency there, and they were looking at taking the egg and establishing it there in that market. So we just sent over one, and they're testing right now. It's the biggest one in Maxi, a big yellow egg. So we've got photographs up on Instagram of the lemons of Portugal and then the egg in the background. So that's kind of fun. So they're just getting going now with the restaurant there, just doing their testing and stuff like that, because they have to, you know, there's regulation, of course, that they have to deal with and all that kind of thing with something coming in from overseas. So, but they're working away and it's going really, really well. Yeah, so we're excited, like we've got the toe in a few different markets, and it was, yeah, all just this inbound stuff. So now we're kind of, I suppose, getting to a point where we're happy to target a little more and see if we can really help people understand what we can offer and find a synergy there.
See, like I think it, my head starts spinning, you know, I lived in Australia for 10 years, and the amount of like beautiful restaurants that are on vineyards, in vineyards, yeah, are, you know, it's really popular over there, especially kind of around Victoria where I, and around Sydney and stuff as well, in Hunter Valley and all that. But this product would be, and I wonder, do they have some sort of product bringing a vineyard anyway? They're quite a big farm, but yeah, they must have something going on. But they are extremely advanced when it comes to looking at food waste and surplus waste.
Really?
And all that. Extremely advanced. And, you know, they have huge programs over there as well that look at educating in a chefing context, mm-hmm, or just a hospitality context, mm-hmm, around understanding, you know, before you put anything into the bin, what you're doing or what impact, yeah, that's going to have on the environment. Yeah. You know, they get educated in schools over there about it. But I think this product would be amazing there. I might have to like start getting you, yeah, in touch with people.
Just have to go to Australia. What can I do?
You just have to go to Australia and do a tour of the vineyards.
Which would be awful.
Eat at all the restaurants
it's
there.
Terrible.
And
what a burden.
Research, yeah, and development.
And you know, interestingly, actually in Europe as well, of course, the whole market of agriturismo, which is a hugely well-established business model there with, you know, the lovely rural farms with restaurants, yeah, and vineyards, and, yeah, massive in Portugal and Spain and Italy in,
huge,
particular. You know, having visited those, I remember thinking, oh, isn't this amazing? And now with this product, of course, I'm always thinking, where would you put a nice egg there now in that context, you know?
And the thing is, it looks really pretty.
Well, you see, isn't that important?
I think it's really important, you know, because, yeah, you don't want something that's kind of sticking out a little bit, but you want something to people go, oh, what's that?
Because you want to be proud of your sustainability,
exactly,
journey.
But intrigued also. People, yeah, start asking questions, yeah, about it, because, yeah, when you see something that nearly looks a little bit like a piece of artwork.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head there, Clara, because that is exactly the response of people going to Rebecca's.
Yeah, there you,
you know,
go.
Friends of mine are going, it's like a sculpture.
It's like a sculpture.
And you're thinking, well,
suits you perfectly with your best. Yes, the, yeah, art head. Yeah. But it, I think not only is the form so well thought out, but it just looks so good as well.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's,
and you're right,
good to hear. It's important. It's important for food business, I think, you know, because then you can really, I suppose, embrace that sustainability as well and think about how it's going to help you with your customer approval, with your customer base. It's something that you can really make something of in, yeah, your marketing and in your socials and so on, and say, this is what we're taking on. You know, you can use it, I mean, aesthetically in your business, visually it should be strong and it should be an addition rather than a burden, not
100%.
Something that you need to hide. So you want to be doing that.
You want to be doing that. But, you know, I think also all businesses, there's a lot of businesses who really are talking about the food waste journey within their business. And this would just nearly kind of give them that, say, stamp of approval, because we can all talk about it,
yeah,
but it's,
yeah,
showing people we're doing it, actually. We are really focusing, yeah, on making sure,
which
that,
I think is,
you
so
know,
important.
It's so important. And, you know, there are so many businesses out there that have the land. They, even if I look at Ballymaloe, they have their own wall garden down there. The cookery school have their own,
yeah,
farm out there as well.
Yeah.
And also Ballyvillan House in,
yes,
Mallow as,
beautiful,
well. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And they do as much as they can. It's really that concept of farm to fork, where as much as they can off the land and then using just very local producers to give them the seasonal food to go with it, which is beautiful about their business. But this is nearly taking it to another level. And I don't know if I told you this, in Ballyvillan House, they created their gin.
Oh, you were telling me about the gorgeous gin they had.
Gorgeous,
yeah,
gin. It's absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
I tried a few different types of theirs, and one of them is called Navy Seal, which is like, I think it could be over 50% now. You only need the tiniest drop of it. But anyway, they use whey to create their gin, which is absolutely amazing. So this is another thing of them looking at, okay, so the farmers that they use, there's loads of whey left, you know, whether you can put it, into the ground if you want, but definitely goes to waste a lot of it. So why not? You know, they came up with a fantastic idea. And they have a gorgeous gin business and their gin is divine.
And it's a business.
And it's a business.
From waste that would from otherwise waste. Have been. So this is what I love about that. It's making something of what was considered to be waste, turning that problem into a solution. That's what it has
it
to
is.
Be.
And you know? I love it as well. I think there's just so many clever people who are just really just sitting back going, come on, we can do something a bit different here. And you know, you guys are up there. Definitely. It's fantastic. So kind of you're growing that. Like, I know you talked a little bit to me, you haven't gotten there yet about the domestic. That's another level, of course, as well. Having it in a business is one thing, but the domestic, I think it's brilliant. I know if it was available domestic, I'd have it in my kitchen, you know, because how fantastic would that be? But, you know, there's a lot of, I suppose, bigger families that might have a lot of food waste. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, they're using their compost bins, but, you know, not all of them are putting them back into the garden either. It's just been taken away, whatever. Yeah. But wouldn't this be fantastic? So what's that? Is it a few years down the line you're kind of looking at?
Well, we're hoping that it'll be a little sooner. We'll just have to see how traction goes, to be honest, in the next 12 months or so. But we actually have a really healthy waiting list of people who want a domestic system. We get an awful lot of inquiries about that. And it's really small, a really cute little system. It has been developed, and we do have models. And we have a couple out in the field. We have a couple of people testing for us for the last year or so, friends of ours, which is great. And so they send us lots of interesting videos of them cooking pasta and all that kind of thing and putting the food waste in. And it's lovely, but it's just not something we can do at the moment. But definitely we really want to do, because even with that, you might imagine a small amount of food waste. It's significant for people if you're on bin routes, people telling me that they have to freeze their food waste. For instance, if you have meats or you have things like that you can't want to put out into your brown bin, that might cause problems. Yeah. That has to go in the freezer. So that's taking extra energy just to store something that you don't even want. Yeah. So that really, we've got to change that whole way of thinking. Yeah. And this is the way forward, as far as we can see. This is the way in which to do it. We know it because we've had one at home for 4 years. Our kids are in their 20s.
They don't know any better now.
But we even say to me, you know, they'd go to someone's house and they'd be having lasagnas and bits and pieces. You know, kids will take, they might eat half of what's on the plate. And then
straight into the bin.
My eldest was saying, he said he saw scraping and we were like, remember, we used to do that. And how quickly you turn from thinking that that's best practice into that is the worst thing we can do. And it's all just about education. It's all just about realising. I would have thought the same thing before this came along myself.
Does it.
But it's amazing how quickly you change. So we just gather the waste out of goes every day. It just doesn't hang around. It goes straight in. And the gas comes back into the kitchen then. The coffee in the morning.
It's just phenomenal. Yeah. And how much, these little domestic ones, how much gas will it provide? I mean, I want to do, you know, cook the next day, whatever.
So what we would advise to people, we provide the biogas cooker and it'll give you up to about 1.5 hours per day in the very small system. So that's kind of significant enough. So for instance, you could cook a lunch and you could cook a breakfast. There's lots you can do with that. And people say, can I replace my gas with that? And we're saying, we're so many renewable technologies out there at the moment. We're working on getting to that space. But what we need to do is embrace it now and start reducing in the first instance and get to the point where we're almost free of fossil fuels. We're on that journey. We're going to make it as efficient as we
really
can.
You really are on that journey.
But at the moment, imagine getting 2 hours, 1.5 to 2 hours gas that you may need. Some days you won't need it, some days you will. So you might find the bag is full. Oh, great. I'll put on a soup or I'll do an eggs or I'll do whatever it might be. So for instance, in Rebecca's, they use the gas for a particular purpose. They were using it for poaching eggs. So the water would be on the boil.
Amazing.
In and out with the eggs all morning. That was energy created from their waste in their kitchen. Hard to beat that. Really.
It's hard to beat that, exactly. You must be very proud of yourselves.
Well, you know, I'm very proud of Kieran. He did all of the technical work. He's done all of the design. He's working away all the time and making sure it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's brilliant to do it. Sometimes you wake up and you think, oh my God, can I do this again today? But it's also been a really great journey, you know, really exciting, a total pivot for me. And we've been delighted, I suppose, at the response. And I think it's really about timing as well, Clara. If we had tried to do this 10 years ago, we probably wouldn't have had the same kind of reception. But I suppose our perception is changing all the time. Our conversations are always layered with what can we do better in terms of sustainability? What can we do better in terms of food waste or energy consumption and so on and so forth? And we fit right into that conversation and we provide something that's an easy answer. for people as well in food business. So we're hoping that it makes more sense now and it's more meaningful now. And for me, even on the journey, it took me a long time to come around to the concept in terms of thinking, oh, so is that better than, you know, because you do have to do a lot of thinking about how this is going to be. And food businesses, quite rightly, do need to consider where they are and what's right for them. But yeah, it's very exciting and we're really proud to be where we are at the moment. So hopefully we can keep going and be a business that makes an impact.
I think you're already making an impact, let's be fair here. So I know like you'd 4 years of development, but like you're in business, what, a year and a half?
Yeah, about a year and a half.
And look what you've achieved already. And yeah, I think it's kind of that business that, okay, you've had people who kind of have done a Google search, whatever, they're interested in it. But I think it's going to be that a product that people are going to start hearing about you. The word is going to start getting out. And they won't need to do Google searches and they'll start thinking about their business and go, let's look at that. Let's just have chats. And then all of a sudden, you're going to definitely need more than the three of you to be running it.
That's the hope.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
And do you have a company who you outsource then to create it for you?
We outsource, so we've got great suppliers, work with the electronics and work with the hardware and so on and so forth. So that's all really
great.
Good.
Yeah, supporting the business.
And all happening here in Ireland. So that's really good as well. So like we're so blessed actually in this country because there's so much talent out there in every aspect really. You'll find what you need no matter what it is, you know. And we've been very lucky. And also Leo, we're very helpful in that sense. You know, you always get a directory or you'll get kind of recommendations of things which helps you in terms of trying to find the right partners. And we're very lucky here to have that kind of support with Leo and with Enterprise Ireland and all of those other state bodies that help, you know, as well as Cork being a great creative. I mean, where we are even, in West Cork.
I know, it's amazing.
We just have, you know, you're surrounded by creatives who are willing to take chances and do the innovative work that needs to be done in order to push the boundaries and break new ground. So we're lucky to be in that space.
You're lucky. Yeah. Well, look, I think you're doing an amazing thing. And
thank you.
I am looking forward to watching you and watching your journey. Yeah. And hopefully one day I'll be getting one of your eggs.
Fantastic. I can't wait.
And I don't, do you know what? It's funny because I don't produce enough waste at the moment.
You know, that's a happy complaint.
Which is a happy complaint. I have very little. Yeah. And I you know, you were saying earlier about 18 kilograms a day. And I'm like going, I don't think I even do that in a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that is fantastic.
It's very low. Yeah.
Huge balancing act, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but it works. So, you know, and it can be done. But if we had, you know, I think, I'm a small business where as I grow, it'll grow as well. The waste will grow as well. So that's the whole, you know, I'm only a year. No, it's fantastic. And I think, you know, between what you're doing here and what you're doing internationally is just wonderful. So if you were to give a little bit of advice to anybody out there who's kind of has some innovative ideas, what would that be?
Really, I suppose quite simply, just go for it. If it's something that you feel passionate about, if it's something that you feel, if you wake up in the morning and that's what you're thinking about, how can I do this? How can I make it work? Just take the first step. Have the chats, pick up the phone to your local Leo office, talk to somebody else in the business, try and do a little bit of digging. Actually, there's a great, I've discovered this among business. It's the same as in creative arts as well. People are great at helping each other. Mm. Other businesses are fantastic. Mm. Anybody who's got an idea about something, think, oh, I'd love to talk to so-and-so who made a real success of their business. No doubt they will be happy to help you. It's always exciting to meet people who want to start something new. And I love talking to people who want to start something new. We're only like off the kind of jump board ourselves, but it's so nice to be in an environment with other businesses. And also the thing about going on courses and all that kind of thing, you really do build up a network. A network is huge. You can always reach out to people with a problem or a challenge or looking for a solution. And that will only happen if you start talking about your idea or if you start exploring it. So just go for it.
Fiona, thank you so much for sharing. You're on Instagram.
We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, name it. We're there.
Are you
on
TikTok
LinkedIn
yet?
No, I'm avoiding TikTok. A little bit afraid of TikTok.
It's got your demographic though of the young people.
I need to get smart with that. But maybe that's another program we can do with schools.
Exactly.
There could be a school TikTok.
Some transition years.
Get the experts on it because they are the experts.
Create your TikTok account for you. Amazing.
Exactly.
There you go. Now that's your next job.
That's it.
Your marketing strategy.
Ticked off the list.
And of course, your website, mygug.eu.
Yeah.
So, and people can go on and learn a little bit more about it. And I know there's a couple of videos out there as well that you can kind of see exactly what it is.
Yeah, we've lots of videos actually of Kieran doing various things and chatting about it.
Exactly.
And they're always great actually because that really helps you to learn a little bit about it. So, well worth going on YouTube
and
checking out
on
our YouTube channel, mygug. Yeah.
There's a very simple one of explaining
an
the product
explainer,
from start to finish, which is really good as well.
Yeah.
So look them up, guys. Follow their journey. It's absolutely amazing. They are making an impact, and I think it's just going to go massive. To be honest with you, there you go.
Lots of eggs everywhere.
Lots of eggs everywhere, and they're lovely looking eggs. Fiona, thanks a million.
Not at all,
so
Clara.
Great
a pleasure.
To have you
thanks
in and
thanks
to chat
for having
to.
Me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please like, follow, and share. We really appreciate it. And thank you to Red FM for the production of this podcast. We will be back in a couple of weeks for our final episode of this series. So stay tuned and we will chat to you very soon.
For more Red FM podcasts, go to redfm.ie/podcasts.